our life become transformed and align your will with your word and with your ways, that our spirit then begins to walk in obedience with the spirit of truth. In Jesus' name, thank you for your servant that you have brought today. We receive your servant as your prophet, and we receive the word of the Lord through his mouth. And today we decree and declare that God's word will begin to perform its divine purpose in our lives without fail. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying. Amen. Over to you, Pastor. Pastor Jerome, go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want to thank you for tonight. We appreciate you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, and for your mercy. Lord, we bless your name because you are God of plan and you are God of purpose. So for everything, there's always a purpose. Lord, we want to appreciate you because we've come to a reason for our existence. There's a purpose behind our existence. Lord, we appreciate you for the grace you bestowed upon us to be able to come to the realization of these truths, and thereby begin to crave after God so that we can seek his will in a deeper way, so his mind concerning our life, and so we grace to him to fulfill this thing. Lord, we appreciate you for your precious name, because you do not want to run out of this in vain. You want us to walk in this world. We guide us tonight. We teach us by the power of your spirit. You want us to know, you will cause us to know. Lord, we appreciate.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. I want to welcome you all to the school of couples on this. And I believe God has a reason for bringing us together tonight again to learn his ways. The Bible says on that day, the mountain of the Lord will be lifted up above us. He says, and men will flow to him and say, show me the fear of the Lord. I've come to realize today that most of us today are not really seeking after knowing the ways of the Lord. They want to just know the heart of God. They want to enjoy the miracles of God. But I believe what is under strong contention is the way of the Lord. And that's why it's good for us to know the way of the Lord, so that we can see of God in the way that God himself has prescribed. That is what made our service to be acceptable unto God. The Bible says, only an athlete that run according to the prescribed order shall be crowned. So there is a law, there are principles that govern this new life, this walk with God that we are called into. That is principle, there are laws that govern this new reality. There are laws that govern our walk with God. There are laws that govern the race God has called us to run. The Bible says, let us therefore run with determination the race that God set before us. It shows that we are going somewhere. And we cannot afford to just move on anyhow. We've got to take our steps following the leading of the Spirit. We've got to put our steps where he has put his steps. We've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desire of the flesh. So the walk that God has called us to walk is to walk in the Spirit, because our calling is a life in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, the devil cannot get the best of you. The Bible says that when you walk in the Spirit, you cannot fulfill the desire of the flesh. I see a lot of people fulfilling the desire of the flesh because they are not walking in the Spirit. They are not taking their steps after the Holy Ghost. They are not God's direction for their life. They are not following the truth of God's word of life. The Bible says they stumble at the rock. Praise the name of the Lord. You will not stumble in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm persuaded of that things concerning. And my desire tonight is to create a longing in you, you know, to walk with God. And a form of longing that you want to do God's will in God's own way, that we want to follow God's prescribed order. And that's the kind of passion that God wants us to have. That's the kind of desire that God really desires that we should have. The Bible says, blessed are those that thirst and hunger after righteousness. He said, for they shall be filled. I see today that a lot of people, they do not have a hunger to walk in the perfect will of God for their life. They do not desire to really stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Their desire is not to please the Lord and do what is acceptable in His sight. And that's why you see today when people go to church, when people read their Bibles, when people claim that they are committed to God, they are only committed because, you know, they want to know how to make money, how to get one thing or the other of God, not because they want to walk in His ways. They're not saying they want to walk in His ways. And I believe that is not the spirit of the New Testament. The spirit of the New Testament, the spirit, you know, that motivates us to seek after God, you know, is to seek to walk in His way. That's why the Bible says that even the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord. The word seek the Lord there means you are seeking to walk in the way of the Lord. You are always inquiring from God from time to time and say, God, I just want to do what is pleasing in your sight. You've got to lead me and guide me by your word. Guide me by your word. There's no way we can know the Holy Ghost will not guide us. There's no way we can know these things. God do not have God to teach us. And I believe this is one of the mediums through which God wants to teach us His ways. They be praying, honey, that God should teach him His ways. Teach me your ways. Because if you are not taught to walk in the ways of the Lord, you know, then, you know, something will happen at the end of the journey. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Praise the name of the Lord. It shows that if you do not walk in the truth, there is no way to eternal life. The pathway to eternal life is the truth of God's word. He said, I am the way. So when we walk in the way of truth, when we follow the truth of God's word, then the truth will lead us home. Praise the name of the Lord. We are saved by the truth because we believe in the truth. Then when we learn to follow the truth, then the truth will lead us to, because it's the truth that really defines our destination in God. The truth is given to us to warn us and to equip us, to enlighten us, so that we can begin to see clearly the path that leads to the head of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. So once again, I want to say you are welcome to this platform. So with God is invading your life by the power of the Spirit, educating you spiritually. And the desire of God is to launch you into a new dimension in your walk with Him. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. How willing are you to follow the Lord outside of the camp to fail? Glory to God. How willing are you to follow Him outside of the camp? Because we saw from the Bible that Jesus, you know, is the truth of God's word. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 1, He said, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing made was made. So He showed that truth Himself is Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And John chapter 14 tells us, He said, Jesus Himself has found, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. So we are not following something. We are not committed to something. We are not committed to a cause. We are following a person. We are committed to a person. and that blossom is Jesus. So our loyalty and our commitment is to the Spirit of truth, is to Jesus Christ himself as a person. So how willing I be to follow to pain. You know, there are times I hear as if as you are failing because you are following the truth of God's word for your life. But irrespective of men's opinion, and how willing are you to identify truth in your lifetime? How willing are you to stand firmly on the ground of truth and say, this is what the word of God says, and that is what I am doing? A lot of times people mix up, you know, some things, you know, some scriptural truth because of the wrong definition we give to it. Especially when we talk about holiness, there's something we call plastic holiness. Holiness is talking about surface holiness. It's talking about, you know, something on the house and at the material level. That's not the kind of holiness that God has called us. God has called us to a form of holiness, you know, in form of you sharing his splendor. Praise the name of the Lord. And when you talk about holiness, my own prophetic and apostolic definition for holiness means radical commitment to the truth of God's word. When you see a man who is radically committed to the word of God, I say, well, that's what the word of God says, irrespective of what my feelings, you know, is telling me, irrespective of what other people think, irrespective of what others are doing, I'm going to do what God says in his word. You know, that's what we call holiness. And when you see people, that's why the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Only those who are radically committed to God and walk in that path of holiness. And you see, without that holiness, you know, we'll miss it all. And I want you to know that your faith is always under condition. Why? Because the devil knows the yardstick that God will use to measure. He knows the standard of God. The standard of God is only a standard. Praise the name of the Lord. And it has to do with commitment to the truth of God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see, that's what a lot of people term as a slavery to God. And I believe that we are delivered to be a slave unto God. And when we are a slave unto God, we are captured, our mind is captivated by the truth of God's word or by the reality of the love of God, then we'll become radically committed to the truth of God's word. The Bible says that is holiness. The result is holiness, and in the final analysis, it will lead to life eternal. We're going to see that truth. Chapter 6. You're going to see the benefit of holiness, the benefit of a radical commitment to the truth of God's word, praise of the Lord. Let me quickly get that scripture for you to read. Amen and amen. So most often, you and I may be misunderstood. But irrespective of the popular opinion of men, what is important to us is God's verdict over our life. Praise the name of the Lord. It's God's verdict over our life. The Bible says in verse 22, but now be made free from sin and become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness. So the word servants to God there, he is talking about you being enslaved unto God. You know, most people say that we are God's stupid. We don't have the mind of our own. You see, we have the mind of our own, but we have willingly submitted our mind to the authority of God's word. Because we know God is going to judge on that day. He's going to judge all men on that day by the truth of his word. Because he says, you know, the days of Israel, God had overlooked. But now he's calling every man unto repentance everywhere that you've got to upgrade your standard of living. You've got to begin to live by the truth of God's word, irrespective of those strong confession that is over your life and destiny and your desire to want to live for God. In your generation. He says, but now be made free from sin and become servants to God. You have your fruit of holiness and the end is everlasting life. That is, it wishes were horses, beggars were ride. So I want you to see the reason why we want to learn to train our spirit, you know, to walk in the truth of God's word. You see, just like you're going to train your spirit, it's in this world, not forever. But while you are in this world, when your spirit is attuned unto God, is trained to walk in this new form of life, you know, you begin to adapt yourself to your new status in the spirit. Then you are going to see that you are not going to miss the eternal inheritance that the Lord has preserved for you. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, most people are not those things. They just want something in the now. I'm not thinking about the hereafter. We are preparing ourselves for the hereafter. Because how you live today determines where you will live tomorrow. So we are training ourselves on how to live irrespective of satanic assault, hated by all men, because we are committed to the truth of God's word. But irrespective of their assault over our life and destiny, our spirit has been trained in such a way that we will not be moved by what the devil is doing. He cannot push us out of the church. Praise the name of the Lord. So when you explain it unto God, most often people say, well, you don't know what you are doing. You can't you take decision on your own? Can't you think on your own? Can't you? Most times people challenge us like that, but we need to tell them. And answer them back from Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, think about these things. You see, not to say I don't have the mind of my own, but I've allowed the mind of Christ to be pinched into me. Praise the name of the Lord. And I allow the mind of Christ to dominate my way of life, my daily decision, and every step that I take in life. The Bible says he has given unto us the mind of Christ, and that's the kind of mind that God wants us to have. Not to say you cannot do anything by yourself, but you chose to follow the truth. Jesus said, he said, I can call down legion, you know, to defend me. I can call down legion. He shows that he has the mind of his own. But he submitted his mind unto God. Although being a son, he learned what it means to follow the order of God. He learned. Most people don't want to learn today. That's the reason why when we get into trouble, we are not thinking about the things that God wants us to learn in the midst of our trouble. We are always thinking about the way those things affect us now. We are not thinking about the effect that those things will have on our, you know, on our final destination in God. And most times, God may want to deprive us of some things in the present so that he can create a future for us. Actually, when you learn to walk in the truth, okay, you and I can have the kind of rich welcome, the kind of rich welcome that Jesus received. You'll be able to say, like Jesus said in John 17, that I've glorified you on the heart. I've done everything you have commanded me to do. You can push back the habits of the aliens. Jesus said, I want you guys to know that, you know, I have loved the Father and I've done all that he has commanded me. So the prince of his word came and find nothing in me. The devil knows that by the time you begin to, you know, move away from the path of truth, that's when there's an opening in your life to which you can put his feet and launch an attack against your destiny. And Paul, the apostle, said, don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. He said, give no foothold to the enemy. By the foothold means he's looking for a place to just put his feet. When you want to climb a wall or you want to climb a tree, you are looking for something that can hold the first feet you put there. If something can just hold you there, you can keep moving. That's the way most believers today have opened up their life to their attack of it. So it looks like, you know, a lot of people were offended in the message of Jesus. Jesus even said to his disciples, he said, oh, some of you are offended already. He said, well, you've not seen anything yet. Even before he went to the cross, because in their own opinion, he was doing a thing. Yet it is of necessity that the Son of Man should go through all of these things that you might step into his glory. And he said, we want the glory today, but we don't want the cross. We want the crown, we don't want the cross. We want the glory, we don't want the pain. Suffering precedes glory. Pain precedes glory. He chose to walk in the truth of the Father. This is what the Father wanted for my life. It may not be good in your own sight, but it is good in my own sight. Praise the name of the Lord. What is good in my sight is what is good in the sight of the Lord. It's God that decides on what makes you to be happy, And it's not the situation of the circumstances of life or the popular opinion of men that determine your how acceptable the steps you are taking. You understand? That's what makes you to be happy. Jesus will rejoice. He will be happy. Because he wanted is that the Father be glad. And God himself affirmed in the book of Matthew chapter 3, he said, "This is my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, a lot of people think about how to step into power today. You know, what God is actually saying in that scripture is this. He said, you know, every inanimate object should hear him. Why? Because he has lived his life in subjection to the authority of the truth of the Father. He has learned to live by the truth. The truth is that the Lamb is going to come and is going to die for the sin of all men. He was tempted to move away from the path of truth. They challenged him. They said to him, "If you are the Christ," he said, "come down from the throne." They said, "Physician, heal thyself." And he said to them, "The Son of Man hath not come to save himself." And he just, I don't know how logical that one is. If you are one of his followers, you know, that doesn't sound so logical, it's interesting, it's not exciting. That's why a lot of people, they love the miracles of Jesus, but they don't like the ways of Jesus. Jesus has chosen the way of the world, the way of destruction, the way of cancer attack, the way of revenge, the way of vengeance. They will have loved it so much that it's a good leader to follow. What I want you to know, you have a good leader to follow, and when you choose to walk in his path, you are walking on the path that leads to eternal life. He said, with love, you see, there was a time when they wanted to arrest him. And, you know, they had the opportunity to strike back. And Peter broke out his sword, cut off the ears of Mark. God, Jesus, put his hand there, and he has grew up again. He said, "Don't you know we are not made up of such spirit?" He said, "My God, what is this? What is this?" Because that's the way of the world. When you hit me on the right cheek, I'm going to hit you back. I'm not going to turn the right cheek, the left cheek unto you. But the way of the spirit is always different from the way of man. That's why we have to learn, you understand, to walk in the way of the spirit. And that's why every day you are going to see that the Holy Ghost is working on our heart. He's working on our heart in such a way to free us from our ways, to free us from a life of self-will, to free us from a life of self-love. You know, one of these major areas that God is choosing to, you know, God is really interested at, you know, freeing us from, is to free you from your own way. Most times we want to do the things of God in our own way. Your own way will lead you to there. There's only one way that leads you to the Father. So most often, most of us do misunderstand all of this. I don't say you are dead brain or you don't know what you are doing, what you are thinking. You are only embraced mind of Christ because it takes this kind of a mind, you understand, to step into eternity with God, to step into God's provision for your life, to step into your inheritance with God. So Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew he was tempted. He was moved. He was, you know, it's like he should react. You know, I don't know if you've been tempted to react before, but you choose to follow the truth. You choose to say, "Well, I'm going to." Most times you want to show love to people, but instead of them reciprocating, you understand, showing love back to you, you understand, they are showing you, they are releasing the venom of hatred and bitterness towards you, and you want to begin to react. But you know what the truth of God's word says? It says, "Love those that hate you. Love those that hate you. Pray for those that persecute you." And when you begin to do that, some of your friends begin to tell you, "You must be stupid. What are you doing?" But that is the way of God. Because we chose to follow his commandments. He said, "I want the whole world to know this, that I have loved the Father." That's what makes you invincible. That's what makes you to be untouchable by Satan. So that's why when these principles of God are built into your life, you understand, it increases your level of victory over the assault of the enemy. That's why what God has come to offer us is his life. He said, "The word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He said, "And I have done all that he has commanded me." Then the prince of this world came to find nothing in me. I want the whole world to learn from this. So there's something God wants us to learn. They are called to learn. That's why it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest. You see, when we refuse the teachings of God, when we refuse and reject, you know, the offer of God, willing to be, who is willing to teach us, what happens is that our life is filled with confusion. Our life is saturated with all manner of frustration. You know, we begin to see, and most often we do shift the blame on God. I say, God, why is it that this is happening? Why is it that this is happening? Why is it that that is happening? No, when you learn to walk in the truth of God, you can overcome all the prayer that the devil is trying to push into your spirit so that you can fall short of the glory of God for your life. I want you to make up your mind where you are today. And begin to realize that you are not a dead end. You are not foolish. You are not stupid. That's what the world called us. That's what the world called your faith. They call them stupid. They call them foolish. They call them crazy. The disciples of Jesus, they call him crazy. Why? Because they call him crazy. No, that's what happened. You understand? Because of this. What is crazy decision? You understand? At the time when everything is going on fire, people are coming into the ministry. Things are happening and all of those things, you know. Things were happening and you are saying the time of your departure is near. And you say, well, I choose to walk in the way of the Lord. And he said that, you know, the Son of Man will fall like a cord after fall to the ground and die. He was talking about death and destruction. You wonder why Peter called him by the side. He said, come on, Jesus, what are you talking about? This is not the right time for you to do all of these things. He said, well, the time has come. Because, you see, it's only God that decides on what is acceptable in his sight and what is unacceptable in his sight. You've got to realize this. It doesn't have to be socially acceptable. It doesn't have to be acceptable, you know, for the populace. It doesn't have to be something that everybody endures. You understand? But this is what God wants for my life. That's the place where we draw the battle line. You know, this is what God wants for my life. I said, why is it that yours is different? It's different because God knows me, has chosen me, has called me as a person, and this is the truth of God's word concerning my life. And I know that when I walk in this truth, you understand, I'm radically committed to the will of God, you understand, no matter the consequences of my action. You understand, you may have to face some consequences here, now, but here I am. It's going to be a time of joy for you. Jesus said to the devil, he said, the devil is your hour. But hereafter, the Son of Man shall be glorified. You know, we want to dodge the fifth nine of the circumcised. We want to dodge the affliction and the tribulation. And yet, we want to walk in the truth. It's not possible. Those who will live a godly life, in other words, who will live their life by the truth of God's word, they will face tribulation in this world. And you know what? God has promised to deliver us from all our tribulations. No, my understanding of that truth is that God used those tribulations to deliver us from the hand of the devil. Because in the face of our tribulation, we come to the realization that there's a God who loves us more than the devil, you know, who is mouth that you really love us. He's going to stand with a lot of attractive things before us, you know, wanting us to choose the path of comfort and relief. But you know, we're not walking in that path. We are going to walk in the path that God has chosen for our life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me go again to that scripture. He said, but now be made free from sin. Now, I don't know if you are under the sound of my voice tonight. You have been made free from sin. You have been made free from sin. You have been made free from sin. So it's not enough for you to know that you have been made free from sin. He said, and become servant to God. We are not serving ourselves any longer. We are not serving us either. We are not living our lives to please those people. We are servants of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, Paul said, if I still want to live my life to please other men, I am not worthy of my calling. You know, it shows that we have been delivered from the life of using our life to please others rather than pleasing the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, now be made free from sin and become servants to God or a slave to God. You have your fruit. Hallelujah. You know, people go to church. That's what we call a slavery to God. That's when your thoughts enter into the captivity of God's law. That's what you say. You become servants to God. You are now serving the will of God. You have no other thing you are living for any longer. You are just living for the purpose of God. You know, and the Bible says the result, when you are radically committed to the will of God, it says the result will be holiness. Glory to God. It says the fruit that will come. Most times, you know, we do not have for the fruit any longer. We look at our faith path. We look at our bank accounts. We look at the material things God has blessed us with. You know, and some of the way I'm committed to God. I'm a regular church goer. You understand? But he has nothing to show for it in terms of the fruit. But he has a lot to show for it in terms of material blessing. Yet God said, your only mark of identification, you know, as a believer, a New Testament believer, is the fruit of the Spirit. He says, by their fruit, you shall know. But today, you know, we place a lot of sticker on our cars. You understand? We say a lot of exciting things about ourselves. We say, well, you know, that's what makes people say, you know, we have a different kind of dress. And these people, they have to be believers. But that doesn't mean they have the fruit of the Spirit. But those who are radically committed to the truth of God's word, the world is yet to see. There are times. Those men who are radically committed, that was the way Jesus broke the neck of the enemy. Because he should death, the same one that are of death. Because at a point in his life, he had to die for his will. And someone said that Jesus died even before he died. No, we've got to come to that experience. That's what we call the cross. The cross is not just something we push on our neck in form of pendant, but identifying with him. He said, I am Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that I live. Not I, but Christ. But Christ, I'm committed to the truth. The days of living for myself is gone. The days of man is over. We are living the day of the Lord. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We surely rejoice and be glad. Irrespective of what we are going through, irrespective of the way the world perceives us and the way the world is treating us, or their opinion about us because they do not recognize Jesus, they cannot recognize us. Irrespective of their opinion and their perception of who we are, it's not important any longer. We are deaf to all of those. So those things that we cannot begin to live in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And I believe this is the kind of life God has called us to. And when you are like that, look at you and say, you are a dummy. You are a dollar. You are, what's going on here? You know, and you begin to feel some no. But I'm dead to my own way. I'm dead to my own will. I'm dead to my own personal desire. You know, because when we are not dead to all of those things, you know, there's some conflict in between our natural desire or personal desire and God's desire for our life. And it now makes it more difficult for us to walk in the truth of God's will. You know, it becomes so difficult. You are struggling. Look, you see, God has not called us to a life of struggle as believers. He has called us to a life of revelation. God himself has made all of these things easy. This is the life manual. This is the law of truth. This is God's guide. No, God has given us a guide, you know, to where we are going, to how we are supposed to live our life. This is the document of truth. This is the document of glory. When you are radically committed to the truth of God's word, the devil will let go of your life. Hallelujah. Because he knows you're not going to take a no from it. You will always do what God has commanded. You provoke him. You make him angry. I want to know that this is what God wants to make out of the church. He said he wants to show forth the many-sided wisdom of God for principalities and power. Irrespective of what we are going through, irrespective of the way the world is treating us, we are radically committed to walking in the truth of God's word. We are not going to say a no for an answer. Be mindful of where we are going. We know we've got to walk in the truth. It becomes, you know, a necessity. It becomes a must for us to live by the truth of God's word. And God is not going to fear you. You understand? You have to keep increasing. Add it to your value every day. Add it to your value. Grace and peace must be multiplied unto you. Because the enemy is also sitting by somewhere watching you. And see, looking for, you know, a way to invade your life. You know, someone said he's moving around your life. That's why you got to exercise vigilance over your soul. Looking for an opening so that he can come through that opening. I'm not giving any foothold to the enemy in my life. I've trained my spirit to walk in the truth, irrespective of what people think, irrespective of what people feel, irrespective of how painful it is on my body. It may be a time of humiliation for you, but I know your season of glorification is coming. You are not stupid, you are not a fool, you are only committed for what you to what you know to be the truth. If it's the truth, you should be able to live your life by the truth of God's word. Let there not be any conflict between your natural desire and God's desire for your life any longer. And if those things are yet to die, you are yet to lay them to rest, there's going to be a strong conflict. So every time God says, this is what I want for the life, then I'm going to say, God, this is what I want for myself. Oh, this is the kind of life I desire for myself. It becomes more difficult to walk in the truth. Now, when you are dead to hell, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. You understand? So the devil has lost his control over my life. He lost the control that the devil has over our life. You understand? It's the natural desire we have. There are those things that we desire outside of God's plan and purpose for our life. That's what he used those things as a string. You understand? So alive to and fro. We must not turn ourselves with crooked in the spirit of the devil. We must let go of God so that the devil will not have any material to work with in our life. So that you will live your life, you know, free from confusion that have, you know, that have filled the life of people. You know, people are confused. They are tired. They are frustrated. They don't even know which is which any longer. They cannot even reason our life any longer. And if you're not careful most of the time, the devil can make you out of your mind. But you know you are walking in the truth. My natural desire is gone. I'm living for one thing now. I'm living for the desire of God. He said, "In true death, disarm the world." That's the way the devil can be disarmed in your life. When you are committed to the truth of God's word, the truth is talking about the way of death. He said, I have the way, the truth, and the life. If there is no death, there cannot be life. So the truth that God is talking to us, that you've got to learn to die to serve. Embrace a life of self-denial. Not the popular gospel that we preach today, you know, the gospel of self-indulgence. That is not the doctrine of Christ. That is not the way of the Lord. Because the devil will still use all of those things to manipulate you, to hold your life into ransom. You are only happy when things are going on fine. You are not even happy when you are taking a stand for God and the devil is attacking you because of it. But the Bible says, those people, after they've been released, you understand, they were happy to have partaken in the suffering of Christ. Because I said, God, this is, and nothing you begin to look for, you know, to look for, they have to attack. You know, you don't even need to write any letters to the devil. Just be committed to the truth and see whether the opposition will not show up. Whether the devil will not come, you know, with all his ammunition and all his artillery, all of them are going to show up and invade your life. Why? Because you are committed to the truth. When you say the word of God, why? Because the man who is walking in the truth is protected by the Lord. God is the one who protects. Is the law. When you learn to walk in the truth, the power of heaven is broken in your life. God will be able to identify with you because God lives in the truth. God himself is the truth. Well, when you identify with him, God will not deny you. He will not be ashamed to be called your God. Everywhere you are, you're like, I said, my God, your God will show up. In the age of confusion in the land, and someone said, you know, irrespective of what other people believe, I've come to commit myself to the truth of God's word. And as a result of that, he cried unto God. You're going to see Elijah cry unto God. And fire came out. He doesn't have any supporter. He doesn't have any church member. All the church members have disappeared. He doesn't have followers. He doesn't have a congregation. He appeared here alone, you know, together with his servants. This is the name of the Lord. I'm not even sure whether he had a tabernacle before that time. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Later on that God began to say concerning Elisha. So it's like a long ranger, a man who is committed to the truth. That is what makes God to be responsive to your prayer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. The Bible says, we know that we receive all that we have from God because we have obeyed all his commandments and we are always doing what is pleasing in his sight. So because we are committed to pleasing the Lord, doing what is pleasing to God. I'm not praying. People say Jesus is great, it's good to be out of your mind at times. He says, I'm out of my mind, it's for your sake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You do something stuff, you understand, when you are ravished in that love with Jesus. When you choose to follow Jesus and you are committed to the truth. Say, that this thing changes, it can't change because God will not bend the rules. If I'm committed to it because God is committed to his word. Because God is committed to his word, that's why I believe that God is committed to your life. That's why I believe that when you cry out to God, heaven will respond. That's why I believe that you are not alone. The whole set of people that God recognizes in the world and he can call his own, they are the people who are radically committed to the truth of God's word. In the Hague, we have people who have hated the truth with passion. We have truth have failed and have fallen on the street. We have truth, following the truth, make people to feel ashamed. The time for us to be proud, you understand, that we are following the truth. To be happy that we are committed to the truth. We are truth people. Hallelujah. We are people of purpose. We are people of destiny. We are on the journey going to somewhere. So we are training our feet every day to be committed to the truth. You're not just committed, but radically committed. You either kill me, you understand, or make me to let go of what I believe. We are continuing our conviction in the world, irrespective of what people feel, irrespective of their opinion concerning you. I'll pray for you today in the name of Jesus. Those who have made up their mind to walk in the ways of the Lord. Those who have embraced the truth of the cross. Those who have said, I am crucified with Christ. That is the day I met Christ is the last day that I live for myself. The life I now live. I live at the face of the Son of God. It's not my life any longer. It's Christ's life. So the devil cannot manipulate me any longer because the life I live is the life of Christ. I don't want anything for myself. I want everything for the Lord. I'm seeking to please God alive. Some way you can train your spirit. Disarm the enemy so that you can walk in the truth of God's word for your life. Just so that those who are subject to lifelong bondage through the fear of people who put fear into this, it will be sacked in your place of work. Hey, you'll be taken back to Nigeria. You'll be deported. The devil comes to attack us with all manner of things like that. But you see, we don't need to fear the enemy again. Why? Because Jesus Christ has overcome of those things. He said he took death, disarmed the one that had the power of death, so that he can deliver those people who are subject to lifelong bondage to the fear of what the enemy will do, to the fear of counter attack when they walk in the truth of God's word. I want you to know that the devil has it, but he's not having it again. He has the power to disgrace you. He has the power to put you to shame, but he has lost that power. You are to be honored before the Lord. That's the matter. Those who are looking at you with disdain today, you understand, you are being honored by the Lord. When Stephen was told, people were mocking him. People were, you understand, they were pissing. You don't have to pity me, guys. You understand? The angels stood up. Jesus stood up to welcome him. Think more about what is going on in the realm of the spirit and not what is going on in the now. Stay committed to the truth of God for your life. Why? When you are doing that, you are training your spirit to walk in the path that leads to life. God has raised us today as his apostles to be an advocate for the blind. So that few are there that found the road that leads to life. I pray that we will not miss out on this last move of God, showing us the path that leads to life. And you will make a wise choice for yourself, training your spirit to walk in the truth of God. And you begin to enjoy and experience God's preservation in your faith, in your home, and in your family. From this season, everyone will be committed to your cause. Every step you take God will be committed to supporting you in the mighty of Jesus. All that you lay your hands on to do, God will continue to prosper because we are walking in the path of truth, in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to you, set time.
Amen.
Wednesday. God bless you. Shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to believe that what deserves a response from you and I, even before we close this meeting. You might be on this call for the very first time. You might have dialed into the radio, to the PCPN radio, or any other radio station, and you are yet to make a decision to leave for Christ, to take the power of the devil, and be made free, because the one that has power over the flesh is all over our life. It's broken. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. Beloved, it is time for us to quit from running the race according to our own principle, our own ways. As Pastor has shared with us tonight, we can just surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. It's not a song that we sing. Only at the time that we said we were saved, it's a continuous song of yieldedness unto the Lord. Prevalence around the earth tonight. We want to say to the Lord, even as we close this broadcast tonight, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Jesus. All to Thee I freely give. I will never love and trust in a precious delivery. I surrender. I surrender. All today, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly. At His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender. I surrender all. 4605. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye for now. Hallelujah. Thank you.